Let's go to Matthew. Yeah, we got a new year ahead of us, and I thought to myself, the most important things, and I just wanted to cover the, my thoughts were to love God, to love one another, and to stay faithful to Him. That's really the most important things. And in Matthew chapter 22, I want to start there. And we'll start reading in verse 34. Jesus Christ has just put to shame the Sadducees, talking about they were quizzing him about the resurrection, and since they don't believe in it. And then the Pharisees got all excited because Jesus put the Sadducees to shame. And then the Pharisees make a big mistake and they start to challenge Jesus, right? So in verse 34 it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him." It wasn't an honest question. It was, again, I don't like you, but I want to quiz you and see if I can catch you in a bad statement. So he's tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." The first commandment is to love God with everything you've got. And the second, verse 39, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." They sum up, without these two in line, without these two being the priority, you're going to mess it up. You're not going to live the word properly. You're not going to rightly divide it properly. And you can get the sense with the Sadducees and the Pharisees here. These people are not hungry to know. They are trying to catch the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to make him foolish. They're trying to put him down. It's just not honest. It's not an honest spiritual quest. And the Lord just lays it out. On these two hang everything. And to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another. And Deuteronomy is where this comes from. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 5 it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." This is the first, number one, most important, chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Most important thing. So I'm asking you, and I'm asking myself here, what does that mean? To love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And I know I can improve on it. I know that my mind is not always locked in the way it should be. But in verse 12 here in chapter 10, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul." To fear the Lord thy God. To always remember You know, our Father, Yahweh, our Father, is the creator of everything that exists. To understand his magnitude, his power, his prestige, to stand in awe of him. Because the larger you make him in your heart and mind, the more you will fear, rightfully fear the Lord. The more it will build your faith in coming before him. The more humble you will get. You know, because if you really understand that I'm talking to the one true God, the only God, the creator of all things, then you humbly approach him. And you can do it without fear because he says you can. What Christ has done, he's made you his child. We understand that from Scripture. But you still, you don't treat him like a pal. You don't disrespect him in how you approach him. And that's what I mean. That's why I think we can all improve here. To do his will. The second thing here. To follow him and to do exactly what he says. To walk in all his ways. Jesus did that. Our Lord and Savior did that. He gave us a tremendous example. You know, his patience, his sacrifice, his love, his care, he always did the Father's will. I mean, I'd love to live and do exactly that all the time. And I know I can improve on that one too. You know, but to go to 1 John, all the way to the other end of your Bible. 1 John is an amazing book. I think it was one of the last written. It was written around 90 AD, before John's death. Revelation, obviously, was the last one that he wrote or penned. 1 John chapter 1. I believe that the believers that are John is speaking to have been kind of seduced. They've been seduced in a couple of major things in the book, believing that maybe Jesus wasn't a real person. Maybe he was spirit. That was something that came into the church later on, that he wasn't really flesh and blood. That he was a spirit kind of guy. And then the other thing was that not loving, you know, sin. You could walk with God without doing his word. I think it gets real, real obvious when you read the first chapter, but we're just going to start in the first verse here. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. You know, he has seen this. He's not talking about the beginning, talking about Genesis. He's talking about it from the beginning when we were with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. To look upon is the Greek word which talks about like a theater. I, John, got to see the Lord in action. I got to see his example and how this played out. So he's coming to them with this. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know, fellowship is what he's, this is the whole aim. The aim of the book is to get people back to fellowship with God, his Son, and with one another. Fellowship, you know, where you, you work together, you live together, you're doing stuff together. Now, if I'm going to have fellowship with you, right? I can do, you know, we're friends here, okay? You guys, we're all human beings, we're all friends. So it's a mutual thing. But when it comes to God and his Son, we are the ones attaching ourselves to them. We are not, they're not bowing or compromising in any which way or shape or form to follow us. We are the ones who are attaching ourselves, following their example. We want to be with them. They want to be, you know, the Father wants the fellowship with you as a child, but it's on his terms. You know, later on I'll show you a scripture. It's just super clear. It's always on their terms. So when you read the word here, what John is laying out in these things, I've seen this, I've heard it, I've you know, felt it, I've seen it with my eyes. I watched the Lord, and I've seen this eternal life that he's talking about, this life that he wants us to live, and this eternal life. You know, and in John, I believe, the Gospel of John, it says, and this is eternal life, that you may know him. Okay? That you may know him, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Go to verse 6 here. Verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's why I said they're being deceived in thinking that they can walk the way they want to walk, do the things that they want to do, and think that they're still walking with God. It's just, it's basic stuff, isn't it? But the truth of the matter is, the people can really talk themselves into this. And that's being deceived. And self-deception is one of the hardest things in the world to see. Once you go down that road, when you're self-deceived, when you're blind and you can't even see what you're blind to, that's a bad place. So that's why I say challenge yourself. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Read the verses, read the scriptures, and don't take them lightly. You know, challenge yourself on the basic fundamental truths that are in Scripture. Challenge yourself to do, and am I walking in the will of God? Am I thinking the way God tells me to think? You know, is my attitude towards him, towards his children, the same attitude that he has? I mean, these are things that I think there's none of us that could not improve on. You know, at the same time, what are the things that the Lord dislikes? What are the things that he dislikes? Think of it on the opposite side of the coin here. You know, lying, cheating, sexual immorality, everything. I mean, just go through it in the rest of your heart that you know out of the scriptures. You know, what is my attitude towards these things? Stuff we ought to challenge ourselves to, I think. Go to verse 7. But if we walk in the light, and that light is the light of God's word. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, has cleansed us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So, I believe it says in Romans 3 that there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. Everybody in this church is a sinner. Everybody on the earth is a sinner. We don't have to be, you know, you don't have to split out groups. Oh, you're like the world wants us to. We all fall short. And I fall short in my life on a regular basis. And you know what I need to do to have fellowship with him? I need to confess my sin, to ask for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And if you're cleansed, you're cleansed. Yeah, that's, you just gotta, you know, you gotta take the blessings along with the reproof. You know, if he says, okay, you're forgiven, then enjoy it and do your best to stay in fellowship, in harmony with him on his terms. We don't want to, I'm okay. Everything's good. Yeah, I'm in fellowship. And then you make him a liar. You know? My little children, and I love this, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children. It's the most endearing term that could be used. My little endearing, loved, cared for children. These things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a Savior. He died and gave his life to pay for the sins of the whole world. And all you and I have to do, believe the gospel, love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love one another, you know. On that hangs all the law, all the word. You know, those are the top two. And then do our best to live this word that we have been taught, to live the gospel. And when we fall short, we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. And we got a Savior that paid for it and is willing to do it. He has done it. He's not going to withhold it. But you have to have the heart. It can't be, oh, well, I remember when I was going to school as a little boy, and they taught me, well, you go to confession. So I could do anything I wanted until I went to confession. When I got to confession, I could confess all my sins. I was fun. I did my Our Father's, Hail Mary's, whatever the thing that the priest gave me to pay for those sins. And then I was good to go until the next weekend. That was my attitude as a child. That is a pretty terrible attitude. And yet there are adults that still have the same attitude. Sad. And God is not a fool. You know, you can't use him. You can't work him. You know, you can't manipulate him. He's not a fool. That's why we love him with our heart. And everything in our soul. Go to chapter 5. Before we lose 1 John, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And his commandments, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not so difficult. We have to do it, but it's not like this is torture. This is a wonderful way to live. This is a happy way to live. It was so that your joy may be full, this kind of fellowship with the Father. So that I could walk around with joy in my heart because I know the Father and the Lord. And we're together. And I got peace. You know, and I got confidence. Because I have them. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, just before this, it talks about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, bear false witness, talking about all the major commandments. Walking in love works no ill, no ill effect to your neighbor. You know, if you didn't know much of the gospel, if you didn't know much of the word, most of us have been around a while, but if you didn't know much of the word, you could really make great spiritual strides just by walking without any ill. Ill's a great word to people around you. Be kind, loving, caring, merciful, considerate. Ethical. It works no ill to its neighbor. That's what that love does. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Sin is just the opposite. Sin is what's in it for me. Selfishness. You know, stealing is about what I want. You paid for it, but I want it. Okay? It's all about selfishness, self-centeredness. My feelings, what I get out of this. That's sin. You don't have to read every word in the Bible to figure this out. You see what I mean? You should read every word in the Bible, and you should know it. But the truth of the matter is that even a basic, fundamental, brand new person who comes to the Lord, how do you walk with him? Just Don't hurt anyone else. Don't be selfish. Live in harmony and be a blessing to others. And you won't be breaking any of the commandments when it comes to people. Go to Galatians chapter 5. In verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this." All of God's word is fulfilled in one word, even in this. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then in this particular section, because, you know, this is talking about, these are people who have gone back to doing the law in Galatians. These are Christian believers who have gotten, again, deceived because somebody's come in, the false teachers have come in and told them, no, unless you do everything that the law says, you're not going to be saved, and especially circumcision. Unless you get circumcised, you're not going to be saved. Well, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. You know, somebody's, unless you add something that you can do, you know, just name it. I mean, look at all the religions out there. You know, you got to eat the proper food. You know, you got to get water baptized. You got to get, you got to get down on your knees and pray for 25 hours. You got to have somebody lay hands on you. You have to do something in order to get saved, because Jesus really, the book of Galatians is saying, Jesus Christ is the complete Savior. He is the one who has done it all. You accept Him as Lord. You accept what His sacrifice gave. And then walk in love. Walk by the Spirit, walk in love. Go to James chapter 2, another famous verse. James chapter 2, in verse 8. "If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the Lord's going to change this here in a minute. We're going to turn to it, but we're going to go to 1 Peter first. So, how do you love someone else? Under the royal law, the law that we've been talking about, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. So, do you ever sit down and think about, all right, how do I love this person? Because you're having difficulty with them. Well, how would you want to be treated? How would you want to be treated in this situation? What's necessary? You know, I don't know if I ever really had patience. It's not one of my strong suits in life. But when I lose my patience, I have to stop myself and say, how would I want to be treated here? That's a great, great little, and then you ask the Lord, Lord, what do I do? You know, but at least I know foundationally, how do I want to be treated? You know, so, and when I'm dealing with people and they test my patience, I still have to think this way. Because I don't want to belittle anybody. I don't want to just brush them off. I don't want to dismiss them. You know, which I'm confessing my sins here. I am very tempted to do. So I have to ask, how would I want to be treated if I was in their shoes and I was the one with these things? So it's a great, you know, what is it? It's just a great fence. You know, it's a reevaluation of what I'm feeling, because my feelings are not truth. The word is truth. You know, the gospel is truth. My God and my Lord would act very different than the way I feel many times. You know, is what coming out of my mouth edifying? Or is it just, you know, complaining? Or is it negativity? Or is it, evil, cutting, unkind? We think. 1 Peter 4. In 1 Peter 4, in verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity, real fervent, white hot love among yourselves. For charity, love, shall cover a multitude of sins. It just covers it. It's not hiding it. But if you are walking in great love towards others, you're not going to be sinning. You know, it covers all the things you really don't know. Or maybe you don't know about the people that you're dealing with. But it covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of mistakes, off the mark. You know, and then it talks about hospitality. Have hospitality without grudging. You know, when you have someone, hey, come on. Hang out, fellowship with me, share what I got. You know, whatever it is that I got. And you do it without grudging. But loving, being white hot in your love, will cover a multitude of mistakes when things are off the mark or whatever could possibly happen. If you're loving, I'll tell you what, it does cover a multitude of these mistakes and sins. Now go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. You know, we started off to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law. Everything in God's word. Everything in God's word hangs on these two things. You know, and then Jesus here in just before he's at the Last Supper. It's the last teaching he's going to do with his people before he is taken away and beaten and crucified and dies. And he gives them these lessons. And I'm just going to pick a few verses here. In John 13 and verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. This steps it up. This takes it to a new level. The old law, the royal law, was to love one another. As yourself. You know, as you would love yourself, you love the individual. And, you know, I can be less generous with myself. But when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ's life, and he gets the example, it's no longer about, well, I would get away with, yeah, I would do that for myself. May not be the best, but Jesus, I am to love as he loved. His love was a perfect example of what love is. And we got four Gospels and a whole lot of Bible to show us what that love looks like, what that forgiveness looks like, what to never let go, never cast away, never quit on others. You know, I thought about it. Even in this Last Supper, his men are arguing at the table which one of them is supposed to be greatest. And there's dissension among them. Judas is at the table. Judas is at the table, and the devil has already entered into his heart, and he is bound in his mind and in his heart to sell the Lord Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus still washes his feet. Jesus gives him the sop. He gives him the piece of bread. He feeds him that piece of bread that the most honored person at the table. I want to tell you, you're the most honored person at the table right now. And yet Jesus knew what was in his heart. That takes it past what the Old Testament taught. We are to love like he loved. You know, and then even after he was raised from the dead, you know, most Christians think that Judas hanged himself, killed himself immediately after the crucifixion. He didn't. He was invited to show up to Pentecost with the others. It wasn't until after the ascension that he killed himself. Talk about forgiveness. I'm not going to quit on you. Loyalty, care, concern. This is way, way, way past. This is a spiritual love that we have the ability to do because we have received the Spirit of God in our life. And when that Spirit was poured out into our hearts, we can love with that love that he loved with. You know, and you got the God-given ability. Because you got Christ in you. You just have to smack yourself around. Smack your mind. You gotta just believe it. You gotta wake up to the truth of this more than anything else. And you got to challenge yourself. No, I don't want to settle for mediocre. I want to walk like he walked. I want to love like he loved. So, to love as he loved, it's a new commandment. And I know it's easy to say, but it is quite a discipline of heart and mind. But you know what? You got the Spirit. You got the Spirit. You got the God-given ability. It's just a matter of the will to do it. And then John 14, verse 20. It says, at that day you shall know. When the day of Pentecost comes, you shall know. I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. When that day came, when the Comforter came, when the day of Pentecost came and the Spirit was poured out, they were going to know experientially that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. This is the loyalty that we need to have with our Lord. The Lord died for all of us. He died for the sins of the whole world. That kind of love is really beyond human kind of comprehension. That is the spiritual love we're talking about. That's the kind of love he wants us to walk in. When they got the Spirit, when they got the Comforter, when they got the Paraclete that day, all right, they knew that God was in Christ, that Christ was in God, that it was one. They knew that they are in him, and he is in them. That there is this fellowship, this unity, this oneness, because of the gift that was poured out that day with the Holy Spirit. Now it's a choice. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keeps them. Because just because you got the Spirit doesn't mean you're going to do the Word. Okay? The Spirit doesn't make you do anything. It empowers you to do His will. It empowers you to do His Word. But you still have the choice. Right? We still have an old nature, new nature. But he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode. Meno is the word. We will abide, live with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. I'm telling you what the Father is telling me. You want God and Christ, again, to abide. You want this relationship, this fellowship, this closeness with them. Remember, it's on their terms. It's on the Father's terms. Jesus always did the will of his Father. The Father doesn't change. He's a God that doesn't, there's no shadow of turning in him. So it's on his term. And Jesus met those terms. He always did the will of his Father. And he's saying to us the same truth. You keep the words that I've given you. And you will be loved, and we will abide in you. And that will be a working fellowship. And what's it all hang on? Loving God and loving one another. On that hangs everything else. So if you want to work on something, that's what you focus on. Is what I'm doing loving? Is what I'm doing? I mean, let's, you know, you continue to ask for help and you continue to want to do it. That's the best way I can lay this out here. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is that verse I told you that it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, we sing that song, we have a friend in Jesus. If you're his friend only if you're doing what he commands you to do. You're not his friend if you're not. See, again, the fellowship is not going to be diminished based upon like we have. You know, I can love Glenn. We can hang out together. Oh, you want to go over here and do this? Okay, let's go over here and have a cup of coffee and do this. Maybe I don't want a cup of coffee, but because I want to have fellowship, I go have a cup of coffee. All right? Hey, you want to walk down this street or go to this park or play a game? You know, I'm willing to play it with you because I want to have fellowship with you. But remember, that kind of God and Christ, it's all what he wants to do. It's all what he has commanded. It's what his will is that we are to be a part of. He doesn't bend the rules for us. Jesus Christ showed the ultimate. He gave his life. He gave his life. You know, that is the ultimate. That is what love ultimately looks like. Love is absolutely unselfish and literally to the place, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And there's no greater manifestation of love than that. And the Lord did that. And that's why 15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what the Lord doth, but I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. How many times does he repeat this? How important is this? You know, go to Hebrews. I have three verses of scripture that I would love to, in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to go to verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just live by faith. Now, the context here is going to go, we're going to show in chapter 11 how people live by faith. All right? So, I just want to say this. This particular verse, because this is quoted a number of times. The just shall live, I'll put the emphasis on the word live, by faith. And if you quit, my soul will have no pleasure in him. I think we've, now go to Romans chapter 1. This verse is quoted again. 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the emphasis in this particular verse is faith. The context is to believe the gospel, right? The context always rules. And I'm just saying to you, you have a verse that's quoted here in Hebrews, and the context is going to show you how people live by faith. So you can read, the just shall live by faith. This is, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's where the emphasis should be. Galatians, the last place in the church epistles that this verse is quoted. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The people who are going to be justified by God are not the ones living by the law. They are the ones living by faith. This verse is a quote from the Old Testament, right? But in each context, it is used slightly differently. You want to walk with God? Then you got to believe the gospel and have that faith. The just live by faith. Those who are just live by faith. And you want, you know, the just live by faith. Three scriptures didn't cost you anything, you know, but three places of emphasis. It says in Hebrews 11, I believe it's verse 6. It says, go there for a second. I don't want to misquote it. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the children of Israel heard Deuteronomy chapter 6. God says, you do my word. You love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What do you get out of it? Blessings. They feared God. Matthew, to fear God, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. To do his will. What a great and wonderful truth. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For you and I that come to God, we come to God, we must believe, number one, that he is. Fear the Lord. There is a God, and that he is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek him. Yeah, Jesus Christ said, and I don't want to make this teaching any longer, so we're going to cut it here. The loyalty that he has to you, he wants from you. That the man that confesses me before men, I will confess before the angels of God, before my Father. The one that doesn't confess me, denies me before men, I will deny before my Father. That's loyalty and love are very close as far as how it works. very, very close. So, how do we love God? We got this new year ahead of us. We got all of these wonderful blessings. We've got the Word. We have got the Spirit. We have got a relationship. Let's grow it. Let's grow it and start with the basic, wonderful, challenge ourselves with these things first and foremost. You know, that's really what I wanted to communicate with you all today.